هذا قاعد 3 ايام شغال، بتفرق ولا
مين ها؟
الجهاز اللي جوا
انا تاركه شغال،
طفيته يوم الاثنين.
لا مو قصدك الكيوب الازرق؟
اي فتحته هذا مو شيء،
هذا خليه شغال دائما مو مشكله، بس انا نقلت هذا السيرفر الازرق لانته لجوا عشان يعني حافظ عليه. جربت الحرارة وكل شيء كله تمام الحمد لله.
قلت له ده الزمان طلعته على الهواء،
والله إذا يوم من الأيام فضيت وافل
تفضل السوق طالع يا شيخنا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. The Sheikh is making dua that Allah will bless our gathering and to bless us and bless our time. We finished last time on talking about the issues of the battle of Uhud, some of the incidents that happened and how he alayhi salatu wasalam was injured. And today we're going to talk about more details so we could learn some of the lessons that we could learn from this battle in our daily lives. I mentioned to you several times that the days of Islam and the incidence of a serum. Whatever the Prophet ﷺ went through, it's not just so it will be part of history or it will be stories that we could talk about. The days, the early days of Islam is a lecture for us, a lesson for us.
Abu Yusuf.
It is actually days that we need to learn from it. That one of the lessons we need to stop at from the incident of the Battle of Al-Uhud, the issue of Al-Shura, of consultation. The Prophet ﷺ used to apply it himself. He always consult with his companions and everything that requires consultation. Al-Bukhari used to say the imma after the Prophet ﷺ, they used to ask the trustworthy from the scholars to take the easiest. If they know it is an issue of the Prophet ﷺ, they will not go beyond it. So it will be issues that Allah and His Messenger has decided, and no one can decide. No believer or male or female, if Allah and His Messenger decided on something, that they have a choice in that matter. And whomever disobey Allah and His Messenger, and the other one is the thing that the Sharia that Allah has left intentionally for people, to the experience of people. This is the area that we could consult on. So the consultation is not on the rules that Allah has decided, that decreed on. Allah has put a surah in the Quran called consultation, a shura. And it came between the establishing the prayers and the giving the zakah. Allah said, for those who reply to their Lord and they establish their prayers and their matters is consulted between them, and from whatever Allah gives them, they give the charity. So Allah has combined the consultation between establishing the prayers and to giving the except for the things that is that whatever the Sharia has come to on things that are permissible or forbidden, you cannot change the things that Allah has decided on, like the things that are permissible or forbidden. And the Sheikh has given an example about freedom in our society has beautiful meaning. Amr al-Khattab, he told Amr ibn al-As, when did you slave people when their mothers gave birth to them as free? But freedom is between two sides. The first one is the inspiration, the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. The other side is the rules of the people, their traditions. And between the two part is the water goes. If it goes from either side, beyond that, then it is extreme and the corruption on earth. So the consultation is on the thing that is allowed, what the Sharia that left it open for people to consult among themselves and doing it. But on the things that has already been decided or decreed by Allah and His Messenger, so we have no choice except to follow what Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger have decreed for us. And whomever does beyond that, he have went astray in a great way. All the matters of the state goes into the interest, and there is a big area for consultations, and the Sharia came in that part to give good general guidance. like the Sharia came with the general guidelines that people need to follow, but then left the details for people to decide. Are freed from Allah, but on the issues of worship, Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed that we have no choice in it. Like Allah decided, we have five times to pray, and that's how we pray. Allah Azza wa Jal decided that we fast Ramadan and we don't fast another one. We give the zakah according to the percentage of that Allah decided. All the inheritance percentage, all decided by Allah. All the matters of the family that the Sharia has decided and decreed on and made it obligatory, then no one can come and bring his consult. I mean, they cannot consult on it. Anything else beyond that, from the best interest of the people, there is like a lot of area that Allah Azza wa Jal has left wide open for the people to decide. To the consultation is very important issue that people need to do. But how? With the consultation, how do you do the consultation? Is it because of political alliances, or is it with Congress, or with representatives? All of these details can people can the Muslim or the brain, the experience of the people can be added to this. Is the consultation, is it obligatory or is it just for information? Like if the ruler, if he consulted with the experts, is it just to give him a guideline and he is the one who decides? This is a disputed in the between the scholars about answering this question. With the change of time and place, there is a way out and get out of this dispute that there should be a constitution that decides when this consultation is obligatory on the ruler to follow and when is this consultation just to be as an advisory issue where it gives the ruler an advice on different issues. So we say between us and our ruler there is a contract. It is allowed to go and do 1, 2, 3, 4 and you decide this, and his rules on this 1, 2, 3 and his obligations 1, 2, 3, and with the details of our constitution, for example, you will find yourself out of that dispute about the consultation. And Ibn Uthaymeen, one of the scholars, who said that this bay'ah, this alliance, can be for a certain period of time, 2 years, 4, 5, 10, it depends on what the people decide and they find the best interest, and after that they could renew or they could change if he followed all their rules, or they will take it to someone who is more capable. And this way you have a certain period of time that gives people a way out, a light out. It depends on what the ruler did and how he's fulfilling the rules that they are cleared in the constitution, and this way we get out of the dispute that is that's been there for years. The Prophet Sallam, he put a new meaning to this
landline.
The process, and he consulted about you know, to stay in the Medina or to leave and fight outside. Some people, they said, no, let's do it inside. We know how to fight in the street. The young, they said, no, we did not allow no one to attack us in Al-Medina, and they don't come to our home. So after Allah has guided us, we go. The Prophet sallam, when he saw the youth and there's and some of them did not witness the Badr battle, so he wants them to give them that honor of going in the fight for the sake of Allah. So the Prophet sallam, he took their advice. So some, they felt like, oh, did we they were pushing the Prophet sallam and taking the opinion of going and fight outside Al-Medina. But he told them after that, no, after the decision is made and the Prophet already put the garment of war, he won't put it back until the war took its part, or it will stop, or it will or Allah decides something, meaning you know, the other party didn't show up to the fight or anything of that sort. So he went with going outside of Al-Medina. The Battle of Badr, by the way, you could see the hypocrites. Abdullah ibn Ubay, he took 300 people. I mean, in the Battle of Uhud, it was very clear who is the hypocrite. And when you have one third of the army betray you, they leave. Abdullah ibn Ubay, he took 300 out of 1,000. But Allah the Almighty, he don't want to leave the believers on themselves until he distinguished between the good and bad. And stayed with you, they will increase more weakness in you. They want the affliction, and among you, some people who will listen to them. Allah wants to purify the Muslim community, the society, from any bad issues. The hypocrites, they don't have a pure intention to fight in the sake of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ didn't want in this battle to use anyone beside the Muslims, even though there was only 700 compared to 3,000, over four times the amount of Muslims. But he did not want to use non-Muslims in that battle. He said, we will not ask the disbelievers against the disbelievers from the Battle of Badr, when Allah, when he told someone who followed him, he said, do you believe in Allah? He said, no. He said, go back, I will not use a disbeliever. This is a disputed issue in the scholar, because it was proven that he used the Jews in the Battle of Al-Khandaq, and also used Safwan ibn Umayyah in the day of Hunayn, the Battle of Hunayn. So some of the scholars who said it is about the politics, it goes back to the ruler, about his calculations. He could use non-Muslims, but there is two conditions. The first one, there is a need. You have no other expertise besides, so you need that expertise where you need to open that avenue where you could use those who could help you. The second thing, that he has good opinion, that he could feel safe, that he's not going to take advantage of you. And that's just a certain point, that you don't want to be you don't want to use a wolf and then you become the sheep that he's going to eat. So you have to feel safe from them. The Imam, he has to have from things that it will avoid any of their betrayal. This is what's written in the books of Fiqh, and of course the needs are different, they have different rules. The Shafi'i says, if the ruler, if thought that the disbeliever is someone that could be trusted and there's a need for it, then you can, if or otherwise not. I mean, you have to feel safe from him and from his betrayal. When you look at the parts of this battle, and you look at the action of the companions who surrounded him, who protected him, so they could put their lives on the line to protect the Prophet ﷺ. And some of them died in front of the Prophet ﷺ that protected him, and they put their life to protect his life. Those who did this, it's not just it is a combination of the thought, the belief, and the love to the Prophet ﷺ. Their love to the Prophet ﷺ goes beyond anything, even the soul and everything else Allah gives. They'd rather their death in front instead of the death of the Prophet ﷺ. So they protect his back, and they will take all the arrows that was coming his way. This is the love, true love to the Prophet ﷺ. And some of them, they never even leave him until he goes to his house. And they're always anxious to go back again to sit with the Prophet. So also from the lessons we could learn, some of the different, they change. Abu Dujana, when he took it from the Prophet, he said, who take it with this rank? So he started showing off in front of the rose. So Prophet did not say nothing to him. He said, this is a walk that Allah don't like it, except in this time. This arrogance, this showing off, Allah hates it, except at this time, when you're showing off your bravery. The arrogance that is to walk arrogantly in front of you, Allah don't like those who walk arrogantly. But in the battle, this is something it's allowed. This is something, but like also to beautify the houses or the plates or the cups with gold. You cannot make it gold plated. whomever eats from a garment of gold, he is putting hellfire in his stomach. Unless it is a very minor thing, like you can't get no gold in it if you put it to work, but it is forbidden. The gold or silver in the spoons or the utensils or the plate. But you can do it on the garments of war, because you are a brother yourself in Islam. So it's part of the psychology, the war psychology that you play against your enemies. Also, we find in this battle two things, or two stages. The first one, where all of them followed the order of the Prophet ﷺ and his instructions in the battle, they won. They won tremendously. As Allah said in this book, Ibn Abbas says, Allah did not give victory to his Prophet like he did in Uhud. And the Quran is the best evidence. Allah says, and Allah has fulfilled his promise when you killed him with his permission. And the Shaykh is saying this word means death, when you kill them with the permission of Allah. And all the army leaders of the disbelievers, they all died. He said, I saw a hand, they are running from the battle. This is the first stage of the battle. The second one, when the Muslims, they went after the disbelievers to kill, when they kill them and to get all the gains they can. And those who were on the top of the hill, and they saw how the victory was so beautiful, they thought that they could go and join them and take all this money. And they thought the time is done. The Prophet ﷺ is putting us to stay here until the end of the battle. So it's already done. And they forgot the instructions of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Sheikh is warning us from misinterpreting the direction of the Prophet ﷺ. So this is the Shaitan, where he comes in and misguides you. He don't take you immediately, but he give you false interpretation. He said, but the intention of the Prophet, it's during the battle, and that battle is over. You can see the disbelievers are losing. He said, we are here to take us, but the disbelievers already left. This misinterpretation, and this is what a lot of ignorant people are doing, and this is what brought the people out of this misinterpretation. Those who killed Ali, they are claiming their love to him. One of them, they said, the one who killed Ali ibn Talib, he said that he is a biased person, that he wanted to please Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah said, if any matter comes to this, they will spread rumors, and if they take it back to Allah, His Messenger, they will know the truth from the fact, from the fiction. Anyway, so when the people who were on the hill, or the soldiers who were on the hill, they left their positions. Khalid ibn al-Walid, he is very good leader. And he saw this weakness, so he turned around the hill and he killed those who were still left, because some of them, they stayed on the hill. Abdullah ibn Jubair, one of them, So Khalid, he came in and he killed all of them on the hill. And then they went killing the Muslims right and left. And look at the way that Allah Azza wa Jalla described. And then when you failed and disputed on this matter and disobeyed after what you saw, what you like, some of you want this life and some who was the hereafter, and Allah took you away from it so he could test you. Allah forgive you. Allah has great bounty on the believers. And you're ready for this life, and your prophet is calling you for what is good for you. And then you were depressed upon depression, and Allah knows what you did. The disobedience of the Prophet ﷺ affected the whole army. But the Prophet ﷺ, he was affected some of this disobedience. When the disbelievers came closer to him, where they broke his jaw and they injured his head, and his blood was going everywhere, and he was wiping his blood and saying, how could people succeed with Allah, the face of their prophet gets bloody? And then afterwards he said, oh Allah, forgive my people, there are people don't know. And he made their ignorance as a reason why they were misguided. So he did not make dua against them, but he wanted to make his dua to them. By the way, to say, oh Allah, forgive my people, meaning you allow the gate of repentance cover them. You asking Allah's guidance to them and to make them successful in Islam. But you don't make this on someone who already died. And this is a very big issue. If non-Muslims are open, do you go and give condolences? And you're allowed to or not? There is nothing wrong with the letters. If somebody did good, Hassan ibn Thabit, the poet of the Prophet, he made a poetry about Al-Mut'a ibn Ali. And the Prophet, he commended Al-Mut'a ibn Ali. And he said, if he was among the people and he asked me a favor, I will give it to him. But after a person died, and you know he died on disbelief, Allah said it was not up to the Prophet and those who believe to ask Allah's forgiveness after they died, even if they are close relatives. As long as they are alive, you can make the that Allah will guide them, that Allah will put the to suffer in their hearts to for repentance to him, that he will open Islam in their heart. We like goodness to people, and our leader, our leader, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah described, are you going to kill yourself if they did not believe in this message? You're going to be depressed and to the point where you want to kill yourself because they did not accept Islam, because they denied it, because they rejected it. Because he, alayhi salatu wasalam, was very concerned about guiding all people. He is wish to get everybody to enter Islam. This is a feeling that the Muslim always carry. The Prophet ﷺ said, I will give the the flag to someone that Allah loves and he loves Allah. And he gave it to Ali. He said, if Allah could guide one person with you, it is better. He is telling him, while he is going to fight. He is not like Muaz who is going to Yemen to call people to Islam. No, he's going into a battle. In that battle, in that time, and people, the Prophet said that if Allah could guide one person, it's better for you than all the horses you could gain. Allah said Muhammad as guidance, not to just take money from people. He's guiding people. When he died, he left. We are prophets. We don't. No one inherits anything from us. Everything we leave behind is a charity. But he left the message of Islam that is taking people east and west. Amen. Another issue, when it was spread among people that the Prophet ﷺ died, the companions, they cannot imagine their life without seeing the Prophet ﷺ, or a life that is not flourished by the breath of the Prophet ﷺ, or there is a day that they could live without him. But then, Allah said, Muhammad is nothing but a messenger like others. If he died, you're going to revert. So the rumor came in among people that he died. It's shaken the souls of every Muslim. But Allah Azza wa Jal wants all of them and wants us to learn whenever the calamity comes in to be patient. When the Prophet ﷺ died, people were prepared for this. As if this rumor, it is something that trained the companions to take the death of the Prophet ﷺ when he died. Also, it has condolences to their souls. They were under great pain and bitterness from what happened to them, from those who died in that battle of Al-Uhud. Another one that came to them, that he, alayhi salatu wasalam, died. This problem made them forget all the pain that they were under from the earlier part of the fight. And they lived that part and they spent time on it. And when Allah declared it, Allah has reduced the calamity of the rumor that he, alayhi salatu wasalam, died. That's why Allah said that he has rewarded you a depression over depression, so you will not be saddened. The first one, what happened to them in injuries. To leave the loved ones, of course, bring depression. And the second one, the big rumors that he, alayhi salatu wasalam, died. So Allah said that you were having one depression over the other, so you will not be feeling sad about what you lost. And then Allah's mercy is shown up. He said, and then he had descended on you after the depression, peace, and made you sleepy. The companions said that the sword used to fall out of my hand, then I go and grab it again because Allah has put the sleepiness in it. Some people say that the sleepiness is from the shaitan, but in the fight it is from Allah. Because Allah said that He will give you that sleepiness, and He sent you water so you can purify, and to take you the sins of the shaitan, and to gather on your heart, and to make you sit fast. And Allah mentioned this in several ayahs in the Quran, that the slaves come to them, some they were hurt because of their weakness and faith to Allah. Those who did not care about the pain or the martyrs of the death of others, they care about their souls. They wrongfully think the wrong thing about Allah. What is this thought? Is to think that they are capable to change what happened. And some of them are the ones who had that opinion that the Muslims should stay inside Medina. So after the loss in the battle, they said, if they obeyed us, they will not be killed. We told you, do not listen to us. And then Allah challenged them, keep death away from you. Do you have anything? It all matters to Allah. They hide in their soul what they don't show you. They say, if we have anything in the matter, we will not be killed. Like if they had the decision, their decision makers, nothing would happen. But Allah said that the Allah, He said, if you were in your houses, then those who were ordered to die, they will come to their own beds. Whoever thinks that he can change Allah's destiny, he is illusioned. And this is the thought of al-jahiliyyah, of the arrogance time. So if you're in your own houses, not only a battle, then those that Allah has decided their death to them, they will die. And Allah will test what's in your heart to verify it and purify it. And He knows what's in the heart. A lot of lessons from this battle that we could learn from it. Inshallah, we'll continue some other stuff. SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah.
عبرة وقدوة ودروس وعظات وعبر لكل من يتبعون رسول الله في المشارق والمغارب. أسأل الله جل وعلا أن يأخذ بنواصينا لما يحب ويرضى ويحمينا وإياكم في أحمل الأمور عنده وأجملها عاقبة. اللهم آمين. وصل اللهم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. وجزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم.